Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM. Cedar Rapids in Iowa City. It's 106.3 FM, the South Gym. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer here today. Good Friday show coming up for you. I think a terrific Friday show coming up for you. We'll get you updated on what's happening at Shinnecock Hills at the U.S. Open. Also coming up, we are going to talk racing with Jeremiah Davis, and we've got our first Friday topic of the year. And I have got an extensive list put together, Mark Dukes, as I know you have as well. Hopefully our listeners also have their list put together, and we'll take your phone calls and your texts about that coming up a little bit later on as we ask you the sporting events of yesteryear or moments or characters or whatever the case may be that you wish could have been involved in social networking and in social media. Oh, the possibilities. It's going to be fun. So we will talk about that coming up in just a little bit. We'll also get a U.S. Open update from Shinnecock Hills from Westwood One. We will get that for you coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon. Quite a warmer day than it was yesterday, and that's a precursor of the weekend. It's going to be a very warm one. Throw out a happy Father's Day to all the dads out there coming up Sunday, and hope you have a good one.
Yeah, it'll be coming up on Sunday. A lot of barbecuing, I think, is going to be taking place on Sunday. If everyone can just tear themselves away from that great tie between Spain and Portugal, we'll get to the program here today. I kid.
Do you?
Have World Cup? It's not really my thing, but go ahead.
How can a tie be a great game?
Because Ronaldo had three goals, right, Kyle? Because Ronaldo had three goals. Our expert, is this
I've already learned he's the oldest to score a hat trick in the World Cup.
Is this Kyle's right? Soccer minute? Are we starting?
It's going to be.
Are we starting something here, World Cup minute?
Yeah, we can do that.
Go.
How can a tie game be great?
I actually only caught like the last 20 minutes of it or so, but Spain had a lead and controlled for most of the game, and it was coming down to the stretch, so I popped it on. And then, you know, it's just kind of cool because I actually tweeted this. Soccer has a way of it seems like the best players have a way of just showing up at the most crucial moments. And so in the 87th minute, Ronaldo gets a free kick, and they really had no business tying this game up, but they got a free kick. Ronaldo, one of the best players in the world, he sinks it. And that alone, that great moment makes it a great game. Rather than losing 3 points or however the scoring works, rather than losing points, you know, they eked out a couple more. And it was high pressure.
High pressure. I know Iran leads that group now, right?
You guys caught me. I don't know.
This is your soccer minute.
I know. I'll be ready for them next week. I didn't know we were going
to
do it.
Well, okay. I actually caught a little bit this morning only because I was waiting for the U.S. Open coverage to come on TV. Uruguay was playing Egypt, and Uruguay, I think, scored in the 88th or 89th minute.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, there's something about the way in those final moments, it just seems like the action really picks up, and it's such a slow-paced game, but at the same time, once you watch it a little bit, you realize that the slow pace is always building towards something. And it seems like in those final minutes, they've just got a way of getting shots off, and it's really good action.
What kills me is the extra time.
You know,
who determines that and how much?
I think it has something to do with how much time you spend lollygagging for injuries.
Flopping.
Or, yeah, maybe some flopping, your celebration time after goals. But they actually had they had 4 minutes of extra time today. Ronaldo actually goes down and just in the middle of the place, just sits right on his butt in the middle of the field and sat there for a minute. And so they actually had to have an extra minute of extra time.
If you're going to play 90 minutes, play 90 minutes.
And I'll leave with this because this is, I want to like soccer. I want to really buy into soccer. Ronaldo he makes that goal to tie it up with 3 minutes remaining and then extra time, like I said, right after that huge clutch moment, he sits right down on his butt because something's sore. And it's just, you got 2 minutes to go, man. Just go. And I know injuries are a little different in soccer, but just go.
Don't we need extra time in college football?
Don't
for
get
all the
there.
Stoppages,
oh, there. Yep.
Instant replay. And
yep.
I don't want to bang. You know what? If soccer's your thing, enjoy the World Cup.
Yeah, it's a fun event.
Just don't put it down and force it upon everyone.
Right.
And that's what happens every 4 years.
I will say soccer fans, and Maybe it's because they only get a whole lot of attention every 4 years, but soccer fans do have a way of doing that.
Thank you. We'll look forward to Kyle's World Cup minute in future events. Future.
I'll be ready.
Stocker Jeweler text line 319-366-1600, emphasizing Kyle's point, actually, 1302, that tie gave both teams a point, which was the worst possible result for the other two teams in the group.
Because this was, they are the two leading teams.
And any win, I think they get 3 points. That would have been, one team jumps out to a lead, but then that puts the other one, at a significant disadvantage. But for both of them to just get the 1 point, that keeps things pretty even.
Maybe the gym class will go extra time today because we spent 3 or 4 minutes on soccer.
Extra time.
Did you pull a hammy when we were doing that? Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate that. We are going to talk to Jeremiah Davis. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. 319-366-1600. That is Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertina Stocker Jewelers located on the Penn Mall in downtown Iowa City. And we are presented, as always, by Third Base Brewery, located at Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue, northeast in Cedar Rapids. Great way to get the Father's Day weekend off to a great start. Heck, take Dad if you have the means to do so. Over to Third Base and enjoy a nice craft beer. Have one of their famous flights. Sample all that craft beer. It's a place where families meet up again and again for a quick lunch, catch the game after work. You can even watch the World Cup. Be fine with us. Do it at Third Base Brewery.
Our friend Todd Brommelkamp, who has a show with Alex Kuhn afterwards, after us, he's going to allow extra time.
He is going to allow extra time.
For that soccer moment.
Okay, very good. We will take full advantage of that coming up in just a little bit. 319-366-1600. Let's get you updated. What's happening at Shinnecock Hills in Long Island?
It's all Johnson. Unfortunately, it's not Zach Johnson. It's Dustin Johnson, sort of dusting the field right now. Dustin out early today, shot 300 par 67 to back up his first round 69. He is the lone player under par in this championship. He is at minus four strokes ahead of Justin Rose and Ian Poulter.
Now three ahead because Rose has just made a birdie.
Rose just made a birdie, okay. Both those players still on the field. Best round of the day, Tommy Fleetwood, 400 par 66 as he moves to plus one. How is Zach Johnson doing? Well, he went from positioning himself in the top 20 to kind of staring the cut line in the face. He shot 3 over par 38 on his front nine today, so he is 6 over for the championship. And right now the cut line is plus 7. Possibly will go to plus 8.
Yeah, we'll see. I think it's going to stay at 7, though, because the course right now, they had rain this morning. Cloud cover going right now, and everything's sticking. As far as the greens are concerned, they're for the first time all week, they're starting to spin shots. And this is the best scoring opportunity they are going to have for the entire week. So better take advantage of it at this time.
Top 16 ties make the weekend. Right now, 64 players at plus 7 or better. That does not include one Tiger Woods.
No, Tiger's going to miss the cut. He shot 72, 2 over today. And 5 of that coming on the first hole. He is plus 5 on number 1, and that will be his bugaboo. And he is not going to make the weekend, and no reports if the dinghy is still...
Yeah, we'll find time on his yacht, won't he?
...is still anchored outside Sag Harbor. 313, now we'll get you an update from Westwood coming up here in just a moment about the 2018 United States Open that is going on. We're going to have Jeremiah Davis join us here just a little bit. Also, before 4 o'clock today, we talked to Blake Bolden yesterday, and he was kind enough to leave us some tickets for the United States Track and Field Outdoor Championships that'll be coming next week to Drake Stadium in Des Moines, and we're going to give those to a lucky listener today. It is the 21st to the 24th. I think we have Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 2 tickets for each day. Believe that's what it is. And, call if you can use the tickets. If you want to watch some great track and field, if you can use it for 2 days, you know somebody else that you can use it for 1 day, call. We don't want to see these on eBay or anything like that. or Loretta will chase you down.
Great event. More than a dozen medalists from the 2016 Rio de Janeiro Olympics are going to be at this event. And there's going to be U.S. records and possibly world records set in Des Moines next weekend.
Yeah. Talking about the scoring going on at Shinnecock Hills right now. Currently, in the second round, there are 33 players at even par or better for the day. That according to Michael Collins from ESPN. And yesterday, there were five. So that tells you it is playing much easier today. The wind has really laid down, and they're starting to shoot at pins at this point. Now, does that mean anyone's going to get it up to anywhere close to where Dustin Johnson is right now? We'll see. We will see how it plays out. Justin Rose, Ian Poulter, Tommy Fleetwood, all there chasing Dustin Johnson along with Scott Piercy. Every man's favorite, Charlie Hoffman, in there as well as plus one. And some guys lurking like Ricky Fowler at plus two. He is lurking. Justin Thomas is lurking at the moment. We're going to get updated on what's happening over there at Shinnecock Hills coming up here in just a moment. And then we'll take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk with Jeremiah Davis, talk some local racing. Didn't get a chance to do it last week, but we're going to catch up with Jeremiah. And we'll do that when we come back after this break. You're listening to The Gym Class for a Friday, presented by Third Base Brewery on 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM, KGYM. And we've got our topic to get to as well before 4 o'clock today, so stay tuned.
Sports presents this special report on the 2018 U.S. Open. I'm Lance Meadow. The world's number one player is looking down at the rest of the competition. Dustin Johnson atop the leaderboard at 4-under overall, 4 shots ahead of a group of 3. Johnson shot a 3-under-67 in round 2, but he's not getting too comfortable.
You know, there's still a lot of golf left. There's still 36 holes left, no matter what position I'm in. You know, going in tomorrow, I'm going to stick to my game plan, you know, stick to trying to play the holes, you know, how I have the first couple days and, you know, see what happens.
Scott Piercy, Justin Rose, and Ian Poulter are all even. Piercy is plus one through 14. Rose 1-under through 11. Poulter 1-over through the back 9. 3 players are 5 off the pace, including Tommy Fleetwood, who posted a 4-under-66 Friday, the lowest round of the U.S. Open thus far. Tiger Woods in danger of missing the cut at plus 10 overall. From the U.S. Open, I'm Lance Meadow, Westwood One Sports.
Cyber attack, data breach, malware, botnets. Think your business is immune? It's not. Malware is alive and well on most corporate networks. So you need active malware detection. You need CDW. CDW has a complimentary service called Threat Check. It passively monitors your network to detect malicious traffic and other risks. CDW's security experts will then analyze and explain the results and provide security recommendations. Learn more at cdw.com/threatcheck. CDW. People who get it.
This Father's Day, Lowe's celebrates dads who get things done. Bike tune-ups to engine overhauls, those dads need a tool like Craftsman. And now, Craftsman is at home at Lowe's. Found in garages and toolboxes across the country, Craftsman's the tool weekend warriors and pros alike rely on. If your dad's one of those guys, give him Craftsman this Father's Day for a memory and a tool he'll hold on to for a lifetime. The perfect Father's Day gift of Craftsman starts with Lowe's.
We were naive about all things money.
And we maybe put money into places and paid things that we thought were the most important thing, but maybe necessarily big picture weren't always the biggest and best thing to do.
We were just so tired of renting, and you know, we rented at several places. We felt like it was time, we needed help. And so we talked to Joe at DuPaco. That opened the door to us doing a money makeover. It put everything in black and white right before us. We were getting close. We knew we had the right amount of income. We knew that our credit scores had skyrocketed. We just need to find that right home.
Did the application through DuPaco. Joe was able to get us pre-approved, I think, as we were sitting in her office.
We came into the house for the first time. It was awesome. We're so thankful that we had the tools that DuPaco gave us.
Learn the whole story at dupaco.com/impactful. Equal housing opportunity.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
This Saturday, the Colonels have post-game fireworks. Bring the family and catch all the exciting action and family fun at the ballpark with the Colonels and their lovable mascot, Mr. Shucks. Visit Colonels.com and get your tickets now for the best party in town. And party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Hey, hey, Colonels, let the good times roll. Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Summer can really shine a light on your damaged pavement. Fixing it can be more affordable than you think. Stop dodging those cracks and potholes and call Pate Asphalt. They can handle commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Pate Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Pate Asphalt. See them at pateasphalt.com.
Back with you on the Gym Class at 3:20, right on the button here on KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you. Kyle Mann, our producer. We'll get to our topic coming up in just a little bit. We'll have those tickets for next week's U.S. Outdoor Track and Field Championships to give away on this very warm Friday as well. We'll do that here in just a little bit. Fridays mean we talk racing with Jeremiah Davis. You can give him a follow on Twitter and follow the Inside Track with Jeremiah Davis as well. Does a great job blogging about local racing and regional racing and even national racing out there. And Jeremiah, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just hanging out at Castle Motors at the moment. Waiting for military night tonight at Hawkeye Down.
That's right. I heard a little bird say that you may there may be a special pace truck driver tonight.
That is correct. Yours truly. I'll be in the 2016, I believe it is, Dodge Ram pacing the field tonight on the quarter mile.
Very nice. And by the way, everything is on the quarter mile tonight at Hawkeye Downs because there was a small incident.
Small.
It was a small incident. Big incident. The big rigs were here last Saturday at Hawkeye Downs. Big rig series, which are 18-wheeler cabs, if you will. And there was a crash, and those things are big. And the wall did not hold it in turn two, from what we hear.
No, it did not. And you know what's the scariest part? We laugh now because everybody was all right.
Yeah, everyone's fine.
But the where the truck landed, you know, if there had been a train coming by at the time, this would definitely would not have been a laughing matter. I don't think anybody anticipated, one, a truck hitting the wall that hard, and two, the wall not holding up. You know, that's it's kind of a scary situation for everybody involved, and obviously the wall's not repaired yet, which is too bad because, you know, from the Castle Motors side of things, we're not going to get to see Brian Gibson race on Castle Motors night. I wish somebody had, consulted me beforehand because I would have said last week, well, just race the late models on the quarter mile, give the guys a week head's notice so they can practice on Wednesday. It'd probably be a more exciting show anyway, but obviously too late in the game to add that onto the card, so no late model tonight.
Sadly, no. But we'll still have fun tonight. still have a good time out there. We didn't get a chance to talk last week, and so we didn't get a chance to talk about the big Clash of the Downs late model race. 48 green flag laps, and it was great to see a whole bunch of late models on the half mile a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it's a outstanding race for the Big Eight race, and what I enjoy so much about that series is it's, you know, for the weekend warriors, you know, it's the weekly show guys who get to travel just a little bit, and it never really disappoints. And what I think the best part about the show is that typically that race there's at least one or two cautions, and it went flag to flag, and the guys showed how talented they are, and we got to see a different winner. You know, it had been Caleb Adrian and Michael Bilger back in the first three, and we saw somebody in Jeremy Miller, who is in his last year of racing. This is his 20th year, and he told me that night that this is his last year. So he came out and got a win, and Griffin McGrath ran strong. He ran second. So and Brian Gibson, we mentioned him before, he was third. So it was a really, really cool night of racing, and it's always fun when there's a ton of late models on that half mile.
Besides Hawkeye Downs, Jeremiah, what's going on this week in the area?
Not a ton big show-wise, at least close to here. You know, we've got some stuff coming up in the next few weeks. I know the Clash of the Creek is coming up up in Wisconsin. And then World of Outlaws is coming to Farley Speedway next week. I'm sure you guys were going to ask me about Farley Speedway, and we can hold that off for just a minute. But the World of Outlaws sprint cars are coming next weekend to Farley Speedway, which I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be racing go-karts next weekend, so I won't be able to be there. But if you've never seen World of Outlaws sprint cars and you're from this area, go. I promise you it will not be disappointing. They were at West Liberty last year, and even on a rubber down racetrack, put on a heck of a show. For my money, a World of Outlaw sprint cars race is pound for pound the best racing in the world. And I know you guys are, I know Scott, you're a huge late model IndyCar fan, but those sprint cars, as fast as they are and as close as they race for being open wheel, you can't really get much better than that.
No, they're good. They are very, very good and fast too. They are very, very fast out there. And you did get a chance, since the last time we talked with you, to take a look at the Deary Brothers. You got a chance to see their race about a week and a half ago.
Yeah, Marshalltown Speedway is one of my favorite tracks, period. I've always said that ever since the first time I went there. The difference in the two ends, you know, the turns one and two are a little less banked. Turns three and four, that high side coming at the wall with the catwalk in the background. It's just such a cool place, and it almost always puts on phenomenal racing. And it lived up that night. Now, if anybody who either followed me on Twitter or read my story after, it was a crazy night. It started with the Reaper, Ryan Gustin, who was at his hometown racetrack racing his IMCA Modified, went for a flip off of turn two, landed directly on his roof, and so his head hit the ground and knocked him out for a second. Bent the halo down on the car, which is a tremendous force hitting like that. He got that car was done for the night. And then during the modified main event, all of the lights at Marshalltown Speedway went out during green flag action. It was as bizarre a thing as I've ever seen in a racetrack.
And that's scary too.
Cooler about it was nobody hit anybody. They all slowed down at one time. Try getting two racers to agree on something at once, let alone 25. all at one time. And then the night wrapped up. Well, by the way, Caden Carter won that race. And then the night wrapped up with Andy Ekrich, who runs Precision Performance down in Oxford, or in Cosgrove, excuse me. He had the last Deary Brothers race he had won was the opener in 2014 at Davenport. And this is a guy, if you know anything about late model racing in the area, his family has been a staple in dirt late model racing in Eastern Iowa for decades. They're Hall of Famers. You know, they give back to the sport as much as anybody does. Whether you buy shocks from him or not, you know who he is, and he's a friendly guy. And he's been making other people fast and dealing with some family issues. His brother was really sick. He had two small children that were in the hospital. And he's just gone through a lot in the last 4.5 years. And he finally got back in victory lane. And, you know, he's not a really emotional guy, but he got emotional in victory lane. And it was really cool for me to get to see that, because I've gotten to know Andy really well over the last 4 or 5 years myself covering the sport. You know, he was one of the first racers to sort of acknowledge me as a media member and as somebody who knew what they were doing, knew what they were talking about, didn't talk down to me, he treated me with respect and really gave me a lot of advice on who to talk to and who knew what, that kind of thing. And so it was really cool to get to see, you know, one of the good guys get a win, and after a long time, because he spent a lot of time making people fast. And his car had not been the fastest in quite a while. And, you know, for him to get a win, I think a lot of people, it was a really popular win. You know, if racers couldn't win themselves, I think most were glad that he got a win.
Jeremiah Davis joining us here on the Gym Class Friday edition here on KGYM. And they're racing at Iowa Speedway coming up this week. First time the Xfinity Series is coming to Newton this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good weekend. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to see the Camping World Truck Series race on Saturday night. I'm going to be here at Castle working, but hometown racer Brett Moffitt is going to be in the Camping World Truck Series race with the Hattori Racing team, which he's going to have a really, really, really good shot to win. Yeah, he was a K&N, I believe, East Series, or it might have been a combo race. It was a K&N winner there several years ago. Very good on short tracks, good in those trucks, so he's going to be a threat to win. Obviously, a hometown winner would be through the roof popular. And then you got Joey Gase in the Xfinity race on Sunday. It's a standalone race, so all eyes are going to be on the Xfinity series. And Iowa Speedway rarely puts on a stinker of a show. I don't think I've ever seen a bad race there necessarily. And yeah, so I'm looking forward to being there Sunday, covering the race for the website and getting to see some old media friends too.
You mentioned Farley a little bit ago, and that was the big topic, and that came up last week. The announcement by the Farley Speedway and the group that they will not have weekly racing this year. West Liberty doesn't have weekly racing this year. It will continue at Dubuque, and it's just kind of the continuation of a trend that's kind of turning ugly, if you will, and hopefully it's going to turn the other way sometime soon. And racing is changing, but that was sad to see.
Yeah, it really sucks for the weekly racers. Some tracks in the area are thriving, and you look at Marshalltown and Vinton. Both see really good car counts. Both are doing pretty well that way. And then you have others that are struggling mightily. You look at Independence. You look at obviously Farley and no longer West Liberty. What frustrates me about it is that group, when they came in and took over for Keith Simmons, said all the right things. They said all the right things about wanting weekly racing, and they were going to rebuild. They wanted to make the Speedway the second Knoxville, right? They wanted to make it on that level, bringing in big shows and given back to the racer because they were racers. That was the whole deal, was that it was, racers put on, racing put on by racers. And ever since they opened, I don't want to be too harshly critical, but it's been, changing, change after change after change after change. They've never had, it seems like week to week, something different. And it has been ever since they started. And they've thrown a lot of money at the place. They put up a jumbotron. They rebuilt the racetrack. They redid the pits, the grandstands, and it looks really nice. But when you pour money into big events and things instead of racing, this is the danger. And I'm not a promoter. I never have been. I never will be. I can say that with unequivocally say that. But when you're paying race car drivers to show up, when you're big name racers to show up and doing stuff like that, you're sacrificing weekly racing. And I know that Joe Hayes is a good guy, and he works really hard to promote that racetrack with Jason Round and Joel Callahan and Roger Simon. But somebody has to take the reins and realize what they're there for. And Knoxville didn't become Knoxville by putting on a $100,000 win show. They became Knoxville by putting on good racing and having a good product. And when racetracks concentrate on an efficient show with good racing, the rest will follow, in my opinion. I'm not a racetrack scientist, but just from what I've seen, we mentioned Marshalltown Speedway. Toby Cruz is a successful promoter because people are in and out in less than 3 hours. The racing is good. The concessions are cheap. And people go home happy, and they want to come back. And until that happens, at every racetrack, places are going to struggle.
Mentioned earlier, it's Castle Motors Night at Hawkeye Downs. Military night. All active and honorably discharged personnel get in for free. Gates open at 6. Jeremiah, are you nervous at all about driving the pace car? It's not a go-kart now.
Yeah, just remember, you're not racing them.
I that's probably going to be the biggest struggle for me, is not taking the green flag myself. But that being said, the fact that I'm going to be in a car that I don't own, or a truck, excuse me, that I don't own, that's worth more than I'm worth, I think he'll be good enough to calm me down just a little bit.
Putting it all in perspective for us.
That's right.
All right. Hey, we'll see you tonight, and enjoy the racing, everybody. Get out to a track and help support it out there. We do appreciate that. But follow him on Twitter at Jeremiah Davis, and then the Inside Track as well. We'll see you tonight.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
All right. Jeremiah Davis joining us on Fridays to talk some local and national racing here on the Gym Class on KGYM. 3:34, we're going to take a break. So we go to break, and to give you the opportunity to win those tickets we were talking about to the United States Outdoor Track and Field Championships. We have two tickets for Thursday, two for Friday, two for Saturday. And please only call if you can use the tickets. That's all we ask. And thanks to Blake Bolden and Mike over at Drake for helping us out with those tickets. 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. We'll take caller number six right now. And we'll come back. We'll dive into our topic. Our first one of 2018. What sporting event from yesteryear or moment or sports figure do you wish social media was around to cover? We're going to talk about that and take your calls and comments and texts when we return after this on KGYM.
Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club. Now it starts at noon, and you just need to call by 11:30 to enter. The entry fee is $30, and there are no green fees. Plus, all entries are returned. Play is on a Stableford format, which gives every golfer a chance to win, regardless of ability. There will be team, individual, and skin winners. The Wednesday game is the best game in town, and it's only at St. Andrews Golf Club, 1866 Blairs Ferry Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids.
Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% on paints and stains during our four-day super sale. Now's the perfect time to bring home all the colors of summer, with 40% off everyone, from SW Pool Blue to SW Picnic. But just like summer, this sale won't last forever. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store June 15th through 18th and save. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here. Folks keep asking me how KFC can afford to fit two pieces of Kentucky Fried Chicken, taters and gravy, a biscuit, a medium drink, and a cookie into my KFC $5 fill-ups and still sell them for just $5. Well, I saved a little money by only paying for 25 seconds of this here 30-second commercial. KFC, it's finger-licking good. At participating KFCs for a limited time, prices may vary. Tax extra. Extra charge for breast piece and side item substitution may apply.
To give batters a different look, pitchers throw a changeup.
Your idea of a different look is sunglasses.
That's true.
But La Quinta Inns and Suites is really taking the different look thing to a new level.
Definitely a major league makeover, starting with a bolder, brighter lobby full of comfortable spaces to let you settle in.
Or chill out in front of a big flat screen like Wingo would.
Oh, you know it. It's a changing La Quinta look to help you get in the zone and look sharp when you hit that big meeting.
Prepare to win at business with La Quinta Inns and Suites.
Book now at LQU.com.
Save on your next oil change with 5 quarts of Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil and a MicroGuard filter on sale now for the same price as Castrol Conventional at $25.99. Plus, get a $5 O'Reilly gift card by mail. Improve engine performance with Castrol at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Congratulations to Rick in Cedar Rapids. He's headed to Des Moines next week for the U.S. Outdoor Track and Field Championship. 76 Olympians. Many Iowans will be there as well. 3:37 here on the Friday edition of the Gym Class, KGYM. Zach's still in the course right now, and we got an update, Mark?
We do. Through 11 holes, Zach Johnson is 3 over on the day, 6 over for the tournament, currently inside the cut line, as you had described. And we'll bring you the very latest updates up until 4 o'clock.
There you go. And I think it might stretch to 8, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
61 players now at plus 8. So pretty good chance that they are going to sneak in to the weekend. It's low 60 in ties that will make up the field over the weekend. 319-366-1600. Been anticipating this topic for many, many months now. But we are going to get your thoughts, texts, phone calls at 319-366-1600. think of sports events, games, moments, personalities even, from the past, before the internet was around, before Twitter was around.
Well, let's give you the time frame. Facebook debuted in February of 2004. Twitter followed, debuting in July of 2006.
Okay.
So essentially prior to anything before 2004.
Before 2004 is our pretty much our timeline out there. So 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in, and we'd love to hear from you out there. Some are slam dunks, though.
Two techs already say Rodman. Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman would have been an outstanding person to follow.
85-32, Hayden Fry, the first name that came to that person's
mind. Now, would
mind.
Hayden have, you think, we have said before, we thought Hayden would have embraced social media for his group, unlike
if it benefited
Kirk
him, he would have.
But you can see Kirk Ferentz having, or Hayden Fry having fun on Twitter with some people, right?
I don't know if he'd have time for it.
Except for you guys with the poison pins.
Yeah. Mark, well, we would have Twitter accounts as well. Ryan from Walford, I would have loved to have seen the roasting of the Yankees on social media when they lost up 3-0 in the 2004 ALCS.
Ooh, I did not think of that one. Very good. Top marks to you out there. Can I just throw out the one that I think is the biggest one?
Sure.
That's got to be Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan.
Absolutely.
Has to be, doesn't it? I think it has to be. I think it has to be out there. Think of all of the, well, it would have gotten nauseating after a while.
35-60, Joe's got a good one that I didn't even have on my list. The whole O.J. saga.
Thought about the O.J. saga.
Wow.
Thought about the O.J. saga out there. That would have been a very interesting discussion out there. 319-366-1600, Hertina's Dr. Jewelers text line, or the phone line, and Randy in Cedar Rapids wants to weigh in on this Friday. Hi, Randy. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to put the name Muhammad Ali out there.
I wrote down the great Muhammad Ali because I think he would have been... Do you agree with me, Randy? He would have been a much more polarizing figure, I think, in the world of social networking than he was.
Yes.
Yeah, I would.
And also one of the greatest trash talkers the world has ever seen.
Absolutely.
True, true. But he trash talked right to the guy's face, though.
Yeah.
That was the fun part about it. But I agree with you. I think Ali would have been an amazing person. With social media out there. Thanks a lot, Randy. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
Hey, thank you.
319-366-1600.
Kyle, man, our producer joining us, wants to play along.
Yeah, there's a lot of figures in history who would have been interesting. I was thinking a lot about moments and certain events. OJ, the whole thing with OJ on that day, that was the first thing that I thought of in terms of things that would just completely take over the attention of social media. I can't think of anybody or anything that would have occupied the attention, like watching the most prominent athlete in America drive in a police chase. I think that would just shut everything down. And then a couple other things, and a lot of them are, I don't know what this says about social media, the nature of the people who use it.
It's the best thing and the worst thing.
Yeah, a lot of these things are negative. Tyson, I think Mike Tyson biting the ear, that would have shut things down. And the band on the field, that would have been a really big moment. That's the only thing you would have seen for a whole week.
Very good. The Stanford band.
That's good.
I never even thought about that one. Awesome.
You said Tyson Holyfield, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tyson Holyfield. 319-366-1600.
Bartman.
Oh, God.
Bartman!
Oh, see, and... That would have made things so much worse.
Game 6 in 2003.
Well, yes.
Steve Bartman didn't cost the Cubs anything.
I was just going to say, that would be the argument on the other side of things.
True.
By the way, Bartman didn't kick a ball and, you know, didn't allow all these runs to come across.
And maybe that opinion would have been more well represented in the moment. So actually, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that would have made it better.
Very good, though. Very good.
A couple folks on the text line throwing out the whole Pete Rose gambling saga.
Mm-hmm.
Pete checking in from a betting parlor, maybe, on Twitter. How about that?
I wrote down a couple of the ones I wrote down. Going back in the world of golf, since golf is prevalent with the U.S. Open going on right now, the Greg Norman meltdown against Nick Faldo when he gave up the double-digit lead.
Or the John Vandevelde.
John Vandevelde, that's the other one I wrote down. Yeah. Carnoustie, which is the site of the Open Championship this year. The John Vandevelde meltdown on the 72nd hole. That would have been fodder for social media like you would have never seen before. Baseball. Staying with baseball.
A couple others on the text line mentioning Dale Earnhardt. I imagine that senior crashing
assume,
and
yep.
dying at Daytona.
Mm-hmm.
That was gripping for the nation at the time, that's for sure. What else you got, Kyle?
I've got the whole thing with Tanya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That would have been really, really interesting to see the dialogue. And going a little bit back in history here, I went to Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs in the Battle of the Sexes.
Nice.
I was trying to think of things that would really have gotten strong dialogue from a few different angles. I think that would have been really interesting. And then even further back in history, this is almost so far back it's not even worth thinking about, but Jesse Owens in the Olympics in 1936.
Absolutely. He's on my list.
That'd be
yep.
incredible.
Yep.
I didn't even go back that far, but that I agree. I would agree.
Go ahead, Scott.
Don Dankinger. 1985 World Series. I think Don would not have done well in social media in 1985.
Not in Missouri, that's for sure.
No, well, it depends what side of the state of Missouri you were rooting for at the present time. I think that would have been. And another individual, I think that would have been amazing. Well, an individual and a team. Reggie Jackson. Following Reggie,
yep.
when he was a Yankee, and all of the events he had with Steinbrenner and Billy Martin. Billy Martin would have been another good one.
How about any time that Mickey Mantle and
yep.
and Whitey Ford and Billy Martin went out on the town? You know,
you would not have been able to do that in this day and age, that trio out there. And with that being said, a team that would have been great to follow in that particular vein, the Bronx Zoo Yankees of the late 70s, they would have been amazing to follow because they were doing weird stuff each and every night and day and still winning for the most part, but still creating headlines back in the day.
Got a ton of texts, and first one I get to is Michael Jordan trash-talking
yeah.
everyone. Bill Buckner.
Billy Buckner, game six.
Letting the ball go through his legs.
Game 6, 86 World Series, Mets and the Red Sox.
Ryan from Walford agrees the entire Michael Jordan era. Nate and Marion, that Lee Elliott tirade.
I know Todd plays that every year on the anniversary, I believe, as well as it can be played because it's basically a bunch of beeps and whatnot.
Almost too many texts I can get to here, but excuse me. Don Zimmer after Pedro Martinez tossed him to the ground.
Gosh, so weird.
How do you throw Popeye to the ground? Don Zimmer, he's just like a cute little cuddly thing.
If I recall, I mean, Pedro definitely shouldn't have done what he did, but Don Zimmer kind of stuck his nose in there, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he did. He did.
Here's one for you, Scott. Being a White Sox fan, how about Shoeless Joe Jackson and the scandal back in the day?
Oh, wow, yeah.
Throwing games.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk about it, do you?
Nah. They say, well, historians have said Joe Jackson didn't know he was and then wanted to not do it, but too many of his teammates were doing it at that time. But that would have been interesting.
Matt, the Michigan fan, interesting coming from him. Chris Webber, technical foul.
Oh, yeah, the timeout. Imagine? I wrote that down. How he would
phantom timeout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think J.R. Smith was bad? How about Chris Webber in that situation for the Fab Five calling a timeout in that national championship game against Carolina? Following talking about trash talking, how about Reggie Miller versus Spike Lee?
I was thinking that. There are certain people, there are certain moments that I think would be interesting on Twitter, but Reggie Miller, your Michael Jordan, I would just like for them to have had an account. I just want to see what they're saying on a daily basis.
319-366-1600.
Throw a couple more out here on my list. Joe Namath's guarantee to beat the Colts in the Super Bowl.
I just wrote down Joe Namath.
Joe Namath.
He would have been the poster boy of social networking. And what's Joe doing tonight out in the town? The Immaculate Reception.
Yeah.
With Pittsburgh versus Oakland back in the day. And no one still knows if it was a catch or not, but ended up to be a catch and Pittsburgh winning.
I would like to have seen Matt, the Michigan fan, texting after Woody Hayes slugged Charlie Baumann on the sidelines of the bowl game and ended up being his ouster at Ohio State.
Yep, the Gator Bowl.
Yeah.
Clemson and Ohio State back in that particular year.
How about Harry Carey on the text line? Come on.
Harry would have been entertaining. probably a few photos if... you know, Harry had the wherewithal after a long night to be, and I bet they weren't Arnie Harris. He would have been taking pictures of.
Can you see him texting from broadcast in center field, shirtless, posting selfies on Twitter?
How about you put Harry? Hey, we'll go one better. We'll go Harry and Pearsall together. Back in their White Sox days, Pearsall's still the only broadcaster to ever get kicked out of a major league ball game.
Two texts regarding Carrie Strug in the 96 Olympics.
Interesting.
Landing on her bum leg.
Interesting.
How about that?
Interesting. Did not think that way, but I like that. I like that. Let's take a quick break.
We'll catch your breath.
We'll get some more in. What event would you have liked to have seen social media cover that they weren't able to cover because it wasn't invented as of yet? 319-366-1600. Back with more after this.
If you could only shop one sale, this is it. McGrathathon is on. The McGrath Used Car Campus in beautiful Hiawatha is a pre-owned paradise. Now through Monday night, over 3,000 used cars, trucks, vans, SUVs, everything on sale. With a down payment as little as $88 and monthly payments from just $88. The McGrath Used Car Campus has used cars from $29.88. Use full-size and SUV pickups. Shop Sierras, Silverados, Acadias, Yukons, even Wranglers. Price thousands below market value. The thon is on at the McGrath Used Car Campus. I-380 and Boyson Road in beautiful Hiawatha. Credit challenges? Team up with Eastern Iowa's number one credit team. No one works harder to get you approved so you can shop used cars from $29.88. Full-size pickups from $99.98. Down payment? Zero down delivers. McGrathathon. The McGrath Used Car Campus. Through Monday night in beautiful Hiawatha. I-380 and Boyson Road. For details, log on McGrathAuto.com.
Summer can really shine a light on your damaged pavement. Fixing it can be more affordable than you think. Stop dodging those cracks and potholes and call Pate Asphalt. They can handle commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Pate Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Pate Asphalt. See them at pateasphalt.com.
No matter what kind of day you're having, make it better at Mulligan's. Stop in with your friends for a happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. Take a break with their lunch specials. And when Iowa gifts us with great weather, take advantage of it on their big outdoor patio. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. At Mulligan's, you always get a shot at a better day.
Back with you here on the Gym Class, wrapping things up, taking more of your texts, more of your phone calls at 319-366-1600, talking about sporting events that we didn't have social media for, or sports figures, or sports moments, whatever the case may be, and great list that we have put together with your help out there, and more coming down the pike, right, Mark?
Oh, mentions like Charles Barkley. The whole Charlie Finley, Reggie Jackson era in Oakland.
In the middle 70s of the A's.
Just a ton that I can't even hardly get to. But USSR basketball and the Miracle on Ice.
Miracle on Ice. I had as well. How would that, man, you can't imagine how big that would be now. But it would have been, well, the Miracle on Ice, remember, it was not live. We did not see it live. It was played during the afternoon.
And it wasn't a gold medal game.
And it wasn't the gold medal game. It was a semifinal game. So probably in this day and age, A, it would have been live. And B, we got a winner. We made Mark jump back.
Wow.
1960 is the text source. How about when network television, I believe it was NBC, cut the football game to show Heidi.
Oh, the Heidi game. Nice. Yeah, you know, Kyle doesn't know that.
The Jets and somebody?
Jets and the Raiders, yeah. A West Coast game, and that's what prompted television to say you can't leave a football game anymore. The Jets had a 2-touchdown-plus lead going to the final minutes against the Raiders. They cut away to go to Heidi on NBC.
The movie.
The movie Heidi.
What? Yeah.
I'm trying to explain to you, young man. And the Raiders came back and won, and no one got to see it. So that was what brought in the television edict that you cannot leave a football game early.
Wow.
So a little lesson, little history lesson for you today, young Kyle.
Pick it up.
I'm actually surprised I had never heard about that.
The Heidi game is what it was called, out at the Oakland Coliseum.
That would have been so negative.
1968.
The Olympics. The 68 Olympics, is that what the texters
talking
about?
No, the Heidi Bowl.
Oh, 1968. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, very good. Can I put down one more?
Sure.
Evel Knievel.
Mm.
The great Evel Knievel. Jumping over buses, motorcycles, canyons, whatever the case may be.
Who was the guy who went over Niagara Falls in a barrel?
Oh, there have been several.
Okay.
There have been several. That's not a very smart thing to do.
But another text coming in, Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs.
Yeah, Kyle said that.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, Kyle said that.
All right.
That was a good one. That was a good one. How about, probably in a bad way, but the Malice at the Palace.
Yep.
I wrote, I don't know what is there actually to say. Like, it was a huge event. All the eyes were on it. Everybody was probably talking about it. But what actually is there to say? What's the dialogue there?
Just dumb. One more I had that I wanted to get out. That would be the George Brett Pine Tar incident at Yankee Stadium when he was called out. That was Billy Martin managing the Yankees, correct?
Yeah, I believe so.
And he called that rule, obscure rule as it was, against George Brett. And George Brett became unglued at that point.
Any late additions, Kyle?
No, the only ones that I hadn't said were the Miracle on Ice and the Malice at the Palace. So all mine have been covered.
Excellent. Excellent.
Thanks so much for the participation on the phone and our Hertin and Stocker Jeweler text line. I'm exhausted looking through this. Great participation. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Nasty boys, too.
Yeah.
The Reds with Dibble in that group. Mm. That would have been fun to follow right there. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next here on KGYM. Among their guests, Carroll native and new Toronto Raptors coach Nick Nurse will be joining the guys coming up here in just a little bit. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there. And you and Kyle are going to man the ship on Monday and Tuesday.
We are indeed. Looking forward to visiting with Mike Halas on Monday and then some Major League Baseball talk on Tuesday. And anything topical that might come up over the weekend.
Yeah, and so that'll be coming up 3 o'clock on the Monday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Happy Father's Day weekend to everybody out there. Thanks for the interaction, and we will see you next Monday.
Doing HVAC work has given you some good opportunities. Now, how about an even better one? Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is looking to represent residential commercial HVAC workers. Being with 263 means you're part of the union, and union jobs offer better pay, better